And we are forever grateful to our God and our Savior, because we were the lost. We were destined for an eternity separation from God, but because His love was made manifest in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's one of the reasons that we can sing praises unto the Lord. Our very souls. Can we cut this one back a little bit? All right, we're good. Our very souls need to be reminded. Remember, the praise team just sang, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." You see, our soul, our innermost part, our innermost being, at times cries out in praise to Almighty God. In fact, there's a prayer, there's a little book called The Valley of Vision, which shows many different prayers from American history and reformers and Puritans and pilgrims and things like that. And it says, "Remember, O my soul, it is thy duty and privilege to rejoice in God. He required us of thee for all His favors of grace. Rejoice then in the Giver and His goodness. Be happy in Him, O my heart, and in nothing but God. For whatever a man trusts in, from that he expects happiness. He who is the ground of thy faith should be the substance of thy joy." God is the ground of our faith, and He should be the substance of our joy. And when I have joy, I like to sing. I'm going to spare you today, but I want to tell you from my heart that I love to sing praises to God. And you know, sometimes those praises come out in the shower. Sometimes they come out when I'm driving down the interstate. Sometimes they come out when I'm walking around the yard. There are times when just songs suddenly burst into your mind, and that is the Holy Spirit that is within you wanting to sing praises to God the Father. And we are commanded to do such. Praise can take many forms, and thanksgiving is part of the praise. When we are praised, we give thanks. Now, I want us to turn to Psalm 95, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. And it's talking about singing praises to the Lord. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7. "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice." You see, we're reminded of many different verses when we read verses like that. We're reminded, you know, it says, "Oh, come, let us worship Him." Every Christmas, we sing a hymn. "Oh, come, let us adore Him." Why do we have to do it at Christmas only? Why don't we adore Him all the time? We can adore Him, we can praise Him, we can sing things, and He alone deserves our praise. For He alone is God. You see, many of the Psalms and many of the verses that we just casually read or casually think about have deep impact if we take them as God would have us take them. Let's go back to Psalm 95, verse 1. "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." The Bible says a lot about making a joyful noise. It says in Psalm 101, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." So all of creation, all ye lands, sing unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise. And brothers and sisters, I've been around a lot of choirs and a lot of people who sing. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people make a joyful noise. There was a young lady that I went to high school with. Now, she had spina bifida, so she was in a wheelchair. And God bless her, her name was Deanne. And she loved to sing. And she wanted to sing praises every chance she got. There at my home church, they would roll her up and she would sing, and she would sing with the choir and she would sing with tracks. And one day she was going to sing a song, and they set the music CD going. It's back when CDs first came out, and she started to sing, and the most deepest bass voice you ever heard in your life came out of the speakers. They had it on the wrong track. And she looked and she said, "I'm going to sing anyway." And she sang. God bless her, that young lady, pretty soon after that, lost her mother to an automobile accident, and there was no one left to care for her. And she still came every Sunday, and she still sang praises to the Lord. From that wheelchair, basically an orphan. I mean, she was staying at a cousin, but they really didn't want to take care of her. They were trying to get her into a home. But she still sang praises. Can you recall a time in your life when you were deep down, depressed, sorrowful, fearful, doubtful, but yet the Holy Spirit moved within you to sing praises to God? Why? Because He was there with you. And if you're looking at it this side, that means He got you through it. So we can sing praise unto the Lord, and we can make a joyful noise. Music can be made with instruments. It can be made with shouts. It can be made with prayers. It can be made, obviously, with songs. It can be made with hand claps. It can be made with bangs on a drum. It can be made with whatever God puts you with. And if it's just your voice, that's good enough for God. And you can sing to Him and fill His courts with praise and thanksgiving. Because if you are a child of God, you are with Christ in the heavenlies. You are right now in the presence of God. We may not understand it fully. It may still be a mystery, but I say that's what the Bible says, and it's true. And when we praise God, it's right there. Don't we read where the prayer of the saints is like the smoke rising up before God, and it's a wonderful aroma? How much more so the praises of God that we can give, especially in a Thanksgiving season. Why? Because verse 2 tells us, "Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms." Now, psalms are prayers set to music. And we're calling out to God. A lot of the songs we sing, a lot of the hymns, even some contemporary stuff, are praises and prayers set to music. So we can use, though, anytime we go to God, let us do so with true gratitude and thanks. We go into His presence with thanksgiving. Do you know how awesome it is to be able to go through the blood of Jesus Christ into the very throne room of God? And He hears you, and He blesses you. Now, He may not do exactly what you want, because His will is to be done, not ours. But His will always seeks our blessing. His will seeks what we are good for, and that is to be His children in His service, in His kingdom. And He will never change. Just to be able to go before the throne should be a blessing for which we are thankful. Imagine if you had the ability to go in front of the highest official in your land, whether it be the Queen of England or whether it be the President of the United States or whether it be whatever. Imagine if you could just walk in at any time, knock on the door. "Can I see you a minute?" Not a lot of people get to do that, do they? We can. We can go before the God of this universe, our Creator, because He has made a way for us through Jesus Christ, His Son. And we should be thankful that we have the blessing that we can go to Him anytime. Anytime. In our deepest sorrow and at the top of the mountain, we can go and sing praises before the throne of God. Is there joy when we go before God? There should be. But let's be real. Sometimes we go before God and we're not having joy at that moment. We are in a circumstance, sometimes of our own doing, and sometimes from an outsider. But we are in a position where we're sorrowful. We're hurting. We're in pain, whether physically or spiritually. And we need God to be the King. So we go before Him, not maybe giving thanksgiving at that moment, but I'm going to tell you, if you go before Him before you leave, you will be giving thanksgiving because of who He is. You can go with a pain in your heart and you can come out singing because you've been in the presence of the Almighty. And guys, it's not just, dear Lord, thank you for the bread, appreciate it, have a good day, amen. No. When we go before the Lord on our knees, on our stomachs, on our driving seats, on our pews, on a saddleback, wherever we may be, we can go into the throne room of God through Jesus Christ and He will bless us for the very fact we're there. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. And why? Verse 3, for the Lord, and that is capitalized, so that's for Yahweh is a great God and a great King above all gods. Our God, the only God, is far beyond our human ability to understand. Now let's clear something up. When he says above all gods, there are no other gods, but there are things that people worship as gods. Sometimes they're demonic entities. Sometimes they're objects. Sometimes they're lifestyles. Whatever it is you put above God is your seat of worship. And just what we read, whatever a man trusts in, from that he expects happiness. You trusting in your lifestyle or your job or your schooling and that brings you happiness, where will that be in eternity? Where will it be? You see, He is the great King above anything that we can worship because everything else is just created. He is eternal. And in His eternity, He looked down through time and sent Jesus of Nazareth, the one and only Son of God, so that He might be born as a manger, in a manger, as Emmanuel, God with us, lived a sinless life among us. As the Bible said, we have seen the glory of the one and only Son of God. And then to take that sinless life and offer it on the altar as a sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. Now, you've got to believe in it or it doesn't work for you. But I'm telling you, the blood covers all sin. Love covers a multitude of sin. Anybody that's ever been married can understand that. When you love someone with everything you are, you give them praise and you give thanks for them being with you. And how much more so is God, the great God. He is above everything. In fact, Psalm 104 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. See, praise team, that's what I was talking about. Working into the sermon. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Can we just think one moment about the beauty and the majesty of the throne room of God? Look in Revelation, and it talks about a crystal clear sea like glass and an emerald rainbow around the throne of God. You see, John the Revelator, he only used language that he knew. And I'm going to say that even Paul said, there's so much stuff eye has never seen, ears not heard, what awaits for us in glory. And can we give thanks for that? Absolutely. The most beautiful day we've seen in this life fails in comparison to the beauty and the majesty of just being in the very presence of our Creator. For the Lord is good. And why is He a great God? Because in His hands are the deep places, verse 4, of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. God is completely over all His creation. His might is showcased in the recesses of the earth. Has any of y'all ever been to Ruby Falls in Chattanooga? Any of you? You guys been? You remember going into the room where the waterfall was? And they had the lights off. It was completely pitch dark. One of those darks you can feel that we talked about last week. And all of a sudden that music pops up and those lights come on and there's this gigantic waterfall and all the in this recess, this cave in the middle of the earth, there's beauty. And God controls all that. And in the highest places. Now one time I was in North Carolina, and we're not talking Mount Everest here, okay? But I got to climb a mountain. We were staying, a friend of my brother's and his family there led us, and they owned a mountain. Now, I'm a flatlander, okay? I know y'all got some knobs and hills around here, but I'm a flatlander, all right? And I go up into the Smokies in North Carolina, and I should have thought better because the man handed me a shotgun, and he said, "You're going to need this," and I said, "Why?" And the only word he said was bears. Okay, bobcats, pumas, possums, squirrels, an occasional coyote I can handle, but a bear? Anyway, I took the shotgun with me. And the hill was like this. And the way it was, I couldn't climb straight up because it was December and there were leaves all over the ground. It was slick. And I pulled myself from tree to tree. And then I would stand on the root and go to the next one. Luckily, the shotgun had a strap on it, so it was on my back. And I was pulling up and pulling up, and I finally got to the top of that knob. And the Little Tennessee River was down below in the valley on the opposite side. And the sun was just coming up over the ridge. Now, the sun had been up for several hours, but of course, it's got to get over the mountain. So it was just coming up over the mountain. And the beauty was unbelievable. The noise of the river below. No traffic, no airplanes. Just the river below and the presence of God. And that's one of those times that I promise you, I broke out in prayer and praise. I'd never seen anything like that. Now, I'd seen beautiful days. And I'd seen, you know, I'd been at sea, and we'll talk about that in a couple minutes. We as people need to understand the beauty and majesty for which God gave us as a gift. And it gives us an inkling. The stars declare His glory. You can't do it so much in Kansas City, but you come out here at night and you stand away from the lights and you can see the Milky Way and everything. Occasional satellite and space station fly over. But the beauty is there and God made it. He made it. He appointed it, as we read in Genesis, for signs and seasons and all these things. But He made it for us. It's a beautiful thing. He's completely all over His creation. And if we have even some inkling, some basic understanding of the goodness and graciousness and mercy of God, we can see His creation and give thanks. And we should. Not only is the hills, but verse 5 says, "The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land." You see, God's creation is also showcased in the majesty of the sea. The sea is a powerful part of creation. It really is. Some of you have ridden the sea. You know, even on a submarine, I'm 600 feet underwater and I'm rocking 45 degrees either direction, port and starboard. There was a powerful storm. The sea is powerful. God made it that way. But it's also very beautiful. One time we were off Alaska. We were in the Bering Sea, snooping on our next-door neighbors, if you understand what I'm saying, when we're in Alaska. And I got to be the lookout. Now, when you're on a submarine, a nuke submarine, you're underwater 95% of the time. We only came up to look at the ice pack, but I happened to draw the watch. So I got to stand up in there, and you know, you've seen the movies where the guy climbs up and he's got his binoculars, and that was me. And in front of me was the edge of the Arctic ice pack. And the sun was setting over it. And you've seen brilliant orange skies here and brilliant reds. One of the favorite pictures I have is a red sky with silhouettes of trees in front of it. All you can see is the blackness of the tree against the red fire. God is an amazing artist. And this day I saw colors I've never seen before reflected off the ice. And I was amazed. And quietly, I gave praise to the Lord. And it was basically, "Lord, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen." And it was up to that point. Matthew 8:27 talks about the master of the sea. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Of course, we know that he's talking about the storm that was on the Sea of Galilee and they were caught in the fishing boat. But God commanded the Sea of Galilee, and He commands the Arctic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean and the Indian Ocean and the Antarctic Ocean and any other ocean I can't think of at the moment. He commands it all. And not only does He command the sea, His hands form the dry land. What we're standing on, what we're built on right now was formed by the hands of God. We can be thankful. And this extends to the land. Even the land shakes. Earthquakes happen because of the will of God. Now, sometimes they happen for punishment, like we read in Exodus, when whole families were swallowed up for disobeying the Word of God. And sometimes God allows them to happen for natural reasons, tectonic plate movements and stuff like that. But He is still in control of it all. So He's in control of the hurricane at sea as well as the earthquake on land. God is the master of creation. And guess what? We're part of His creation. But you see, we are made in the image of God. To get fancy, you can call it the Imago Dei, the image of the deity, the image of God. But what He has, we have. We are called to look upon the face of God. We're called to know the heart of God. Does God have a sense of humor? I was talking with a young lady out in the sanctuary this morning. Yes, every time I look in the mirror, I realize God has a sense of humor. But He also has a sense of strength. And He gives us the strength to get through the day. And He has a sense of mercy. You know, we can be merciful because He is mercy. God controls all things. And so what we need to do now that we know this, verse 6, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." The Lord is our Maker. We have an old expression that we used to watch on Westerns. "You ready to meet your Maker?" That's a true statement. Are you ready to meet your Maker? Some of us aren't. Some of us still depend on our own goodness, our own pride. But no, we must trust fully in the blood of Jesus Christ. Fully in the blood of Jesus Christ. Every chance we get, we must worship before the Lord. Psalm 96, 7 through 9 says, "Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people." That means all mankind. "Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth." This psalm, I believe, was not just directed at the Jews living in Jerusalem. It was a command from God, a prayer that all the earth worship Him, for He is the Maker alone. And through Him we have grace. So, verse 7 answers the question from 6. Let us worship and bow down. Why? Verse 7, "For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice." Now that last part, that last clause means you need to be a child of God in order to do all of this. If you will hear His voice today. Today is very important. We can be thankful that we are the sheep of His pasture, His people, His children. No one can take that from us. And if we read the Bible correctly, we can't even take it away from ourselves. You can pretend, but that just means you never had it to start with. Once something is given to you by God, it never goes away. My daughter was given to my wife and I as a gift. No matter where she goes in life, no matter what she does in life, she's still going to be our daughter and a gift from God. Generations from now, when I'm lying in my grave, if the Lord tarry, I hope He doesn't tarry that long, but and someone drifts upon a tombstone or a marker that has my name upon it, she will still be my daughter. And not only is she my daughter, she's my sister in Christ. And we're going to get to spend eternity in heaven together. I don't think there's going to be the nagging and the whining and all that stuff that I have to do as the father of a teenager. But there will be love and there will be grace and there will be mercy and there will be everything that God gives us, and no one will take it away. He is our great shepherd. It says we're the sheep, the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. He's our great shepherd. We hear His voice above all others. Now, we've read this many times, and some of you have experience. When you've got animals, when you've got livestock, the one that cares for them most of the time is the one they're going to listen to. I went out in my, my grandma used to call her cows into the hay. My grandpa would go put a big old round hay bale, one of them round corral-looking things, and my grandma would get up, and I know this is the wrong call. I know this is a pig call, but the cows would answer to Suey. And she would get up on that thing, and she would scream to the top of her lungs, "Suey!" And the cows would come. Now, I got up there, and I screamed, "Suey!" And they just looked at me and went, "Moo." They weren't going to listen to me, but my grandma and my grandpa, they would listen to. He had about 50 head of Hereford cattle, and they would do everything he commanded. If he wanted to run them in the pasture across the road, he would get on the back. My grandma would drive, or my uncle would drive the pickup. He would sit in the back of it, and he would call them, and they would follow him across the road, across the cattle gap, and into the pasture where there was fresh grass. You see, we should be like that for God. When God calls us, we should move. And He shouldn't have to say, "Suey." He would just say, "Come." And we go before His presence with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And there we can hearken to His call to worship Him, to honor Him, and to glorify Him this very day. Psalm 32:6 says, "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou may be found." You see, when God calls us, He can be found. And He can be found when we need Him. And we, the godly, and what I mean by that, I mean, we all make mistakes, I mean the children of God, we can go before His presence anytime because He's found for us. In fact, 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "For He saith, that is God, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." This very day is the day to give thanks and praise to God, not only for our salvation, but for everything He's done for us. And we should do that every day in some manner. In some manner. We shouldn't have to wait till we have a big feast, which is good. The people of God feast. God gives them the bounty and He gives them the providence, and we can celebrate and love each other and feast and eat and pig out and whatever you want to call it. We can do it. But we're giving Him the praise for it because He's the one that gave us the ability to have a job to buy it, or He's given us the ability to grow it or to milk it or to pick it, whatever it may be. He's given us that. And we can give thanks because now is the accepted time to give Him thanksgiving. And it is now that we enter into a time of worship known as the Lord's Supper. You see, the Catholics use a word called Eucharist. And the word simply means thanksgiving. We give thanks to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for what He did for us. And that is what we should be thankful for above all other things. We enter rejoicing into the presence of our Lord. We enter rejoicing and thanksgiving for the salvation that He has given us. Let us enter into the throne room of God right now. We've already been before the throne. But let us enter into His courts with praise, remembering what Jesus has done for us. So now I'm going to ask the deacons if there's anyone that needs a cup, to go ahead and distribute that at this moment. And just as a reminder, when we have our Christmas Eve service, we will be celebrating communion also then. Does anyone need? I don't see anyone. Okay, then we're good. I'm going to go ahead and ask that you open the thing. And of course, the preacher's got to be the slowest of the bunch. All right. Let us pray. Father God, now we come to a time we've heard your word. We've heard the reasons that we should give thanks and celebrate. But Lord, now we enter into a time of reverence that we honor you as we come to your table. Because in so doing, we remember your death and burial until you come again. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we come before the Lord's table to celebrate the establishment of the new covenant in His blood, or it's commonly called the Lord's Supper. We, as the redeemed of God through Christ, have every right and responsibility to celebrate this communion, this Eucharist, with each other as commanded by the Lord Himself on the night of His arrest. In fact, Jesus said that He desired to eat the Passover meal with the disciples. I want us to read Luke chapter 22. Verses 14 through 18. It says this, Luke 22, 14 through 18. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. You see, brothers and sisters, at some point in the not too distant future, the Lord Himself will come again. And we shall eat of the bread and drink of the cup with Christ. We are His disciples also. We are the children of God. We are fellow heirs to the covenant, the new covenant in the blood of Christ. It's something we need to take seriously. He said He would not partake of the vine until He drank it new in the kingdom of God with His disciples. And if you read Matthew, that's all His disciples. If you want to read it, this is recorded in Luke 22, Mark 14, and Matthew 26. The Gospels, Synoptic Gospels, show that Christ wanted to share this with those that loved Him and that He loved. That is how we need to take the Lord's Supper, in the spirit of love and fellowship with Jesus Christ. Thus, we are to share in this symbolic meal in remembrance of Christ, His suffering and His death for the remission of our sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That's the book of Leviticus and the book of Hebrews. Thus the broken bread symbolizes His broken body, and the fruit of the vine represents His blood shed for us. And we give thanks to God for this. Father God, accept our offering of praise. Accept our offering of remembrance for Lord Jesus, what You did for us so long ago. As we partake in these elements, let them symbolize Your body and Your blood, that we may honor and reverence You in the awe that You deserve. We thank You. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11:23 begins, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me." We'll take our wafer. "This we do in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 25 says, "After the same manner also He took the cup which He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of Me." This fruit of the vine, we take in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ and the blood He shed for us. Verse 26 says, "For often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." And then in one of the Gospels it said, they sang a hymn and went out. So I'm going to lead us in the doxology. After the doxology, I'm going to do the closing prayer, which will be the blessing for the meal. And then, again, we will have a basket at the back for the love offering for Brother Larry. Let us sing. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Father God, thank you for this opportunity to share in the Lord's table. Thank you for this opportunity to remember that we love you and that you loved us first. In all things that we have, we can give thanks and honor and praise unto you. So, Lord, we now ask that you bless the meal we are about to receive, not only for the nourishment of our bodies, but for the nourishment of our fellowship with each other and with you. Bless the meal, Father, but bless each one of us that is here and our families. Thank you, Lord God, for being our God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for going to the cross, for going into the tomb, and for being resurrected by the power of God and the Holy Spirit on the third day, ascended into heaven, from whence you will come again to judge the living and the dead. We praise you for all that, Lord God. And in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. We are dismissed. Thank you, brothers and sisters.